Brother Tim Krupa will share with us Brother Moses' words and his thoughts and studies on the topic of continue in my word. Continue in my word. Brother Tim?
Pace, pokoj, brate. I am very sorry that Brother Moses is not here. And I hope that we can remember our brethren in Africa, especially at the throne of grace. Dearly beloved brethren, I bring you love and greetings from your brethren in Nigeria in general and the Wari class in particular. They all voted that I greet you with the text from Philippians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our discourse is centered on what we must do as followers of Jesus Christ. Jude wrote only one epistle to the church, in which he brought to their attention the prevailing condition of corrupt leaders and doctrinal heresies. He writes in verses 1 to 6, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved his people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto judgment, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Then he adds in verses 20 and 21, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. To keep ourselves in the love of God, this is the most essential work for you and me, who have heard the divine call and accepted it. All that we have to do in this world can only be pleasing to the Father if and only if we keep ourselves always in the love of the Father. One way of doing this is our topic of this discourse. Continue in my word. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Quote, "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus, in this above statement, gives a fundamental instruction or condition to his followers then, now, and in the future. Now, because it is the only way the followers will know the truth and be free from the blighting, destructive influences of the wiles of Satan and the traditions and creeds of men, for which Jesus has given a warning. See verse 32. In the future, because it is the only way or condition whereby one will have life. See verse 51 and Acts 3:23. Verse 51 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." And Acts 3:23 says, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet, Jesus, shall be destroyed from the people." Why are the words of Jesus so important that they are the key to life? The Bible answers in John 6:63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." The Apostle Peter calls them the words of eternal life. See verse 68. Then again, Jesus himself says in John 14, 23 and 24, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words, my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So we see that the words of Jesus referred to in our key text are in reality the words of God. For as he has just said, he only spoke those things which were given to him to speak by his heavenly Father. This has been predicted in Deuteronomy 18, 18 and 19. Thus, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." It was through Jesus Christ that the scriptures of the Old Testament, known as the Torah by the Jews, were revealed. And the apostles of Jesus were the inspired instruments used by God to further unfold the divine plan and pass the message of the Word of God onto the church. So in effect, therefore, we do well to take the Bible as a whole
as the word of Jesus, given to the church by inspiration. We should especially appreciate the statement of the Lord, which emphasizes the words continuing in the Word. The Bible is the great foundation of the truth movement. We use the name Bible students because we thoroughly believe that the Bible alone should be considered as the solely inspired authority of our beliefs and practices. Our text suggests that if we continue to recognize the authority and importance of the inspired Word of God, as its meaning was brought to light by the Lord Jesus Christ at His first advent, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8:12. And also at His second advent, when He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Luke 12:37. Jesus said that those who would continue in His Word would be His disciples. Everywhere we turn in the world today, we see people professing to be disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what the word Christian means. We see people called men and women of God. We see these people on television and on sports stadiums all over the world dishing out the traditions of men and human creeds. Are these Jesus Christ disciples really? Quote, "This people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Isaiah 29:13. Quote, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15:9. It is in view of this state of affairs in the world, particularly during the end of the age, that the words of the Lord should carry the necessary weight of meaning to the thinking mind. To be someone's disciple, one needs to have all the truth about the Master. So, what is the truth about Jesus Christ? Jesus, in praying for His disciples, said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." John 17:17. Something very important is revealed in this prayer, and it is the sanctification of the disciples. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 said, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." As we do know, sanctification is the setting apart in holiness for God's use. As shown in verse 4, vessel in sanctification and honor. There is no way of being a disciple indeed, or being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, other than through the sanctifying power of the truth, which is the Word of God. And it is essential to continue in the Word if its full powers of sanctification are to accomplish the will of God in the life of the professed disciples of Jesus Christ. Failure to continue in the Word results in groping in the dark and to easily stray away from the truth. This is alluded to in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. Quote, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Brethren, I dare say that this is very much evidenced in the conduct of some who were once walking, so we thought, in the truth movement. Today, they have no love for the truth. Rather, they desire the glamour of the outside. And gradually, they are given permission to go after that which they seek through strong delusions. So much so that now they believe a lie. We have heard such accuse us of a lack of love, lacking prayer power, and some say that it is not only the Bible student movement that one can make his calling and election sure or gain salvation. They have gone back to what they have been condemning as error in the past years. Such tell us that Bible students are too rigid in their interpretations of the Bible. But, beloved brethren, do we really have our own interpretations? Separate from the actual interpretations of the Bible? No. In the words of Apostle Paul, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." 2 Thessalonians 2:13. The words of the Apostle Paul here harmonize with those of Jesus' prayer in John 17:17. Belief in the truth sanctifies. And this leads to the impartation of the Holy Spirit in the individuals concerned. There is no other way to be sanctified. There is no other way to receive the Holy Spirit of God. Believe the words of Jesus Christ and continue in them. That is the only way. There is only one truth, and it is the one Jesus brought to his disciples from the Father in heaven. John 17:8-10, 14-26. Therefore, brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us heed the words of the Apostle, which reaffirm those of our head, Jesus Christ, quote, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, continuing in and hold the traditions which ye have been taught." 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Throughout the ages, Satan has always tried to substitute the traditions of men for the glorious truth of the Word of God. We have the case of the Israelites who took the Talmud to replace the Torah.
see reprint page 2200, where Brother Russell wrote, quote, "The Talmud stands between the Jew and God's Word. Just as the creeds and decrees of the synods and councils stand between Christians and the Word." End of quote. Soon after the apostles died, the traditions of men again began to rise in importance among the professed followers of Jesus. The Bible was not entirely set aside, just like it was with the Jews and the Torah, but it was kept hidden under the sackcloth of dead languages, such as Latin, for many centuries, and only a few people, called the clergy, were permitted to read it, let alone possess it. The teachings of the church, creeds, and catechisms were claimed to be of equal importance with the Bible. In fact, where there were differences in meaning, the Bible truth was set aside in favor of the traditions of the church. Men, we often hear people in some churches say, "Not everything God wants Christians to know or do is written in the Bible." They say, "The church doctrines and ordinances make up for missing truth." What can we say to such contradictions to the Word of God? 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We can see that the gross error has overtaken Christendom because they did not retain the truth. Brother Russell, in reprint page 2200, advised, quote, "Nothing must be allowed to separate between us and the inspired Word if we would walk in the light. Whatever helps really point us to the Bible as the only authority and assist us in rightly dividing it are profitable to us as servants and guides. But that which attempts to us to be instead of God's Word is a dangerous foe." End of quotation from Brother Russell. Today, many preachers have gone abroad with a variety of doctrines. Some we can obviously tell are mere words of men being used by the devil to cause words of confusion. However, there are others who cunningly present their teachings so that the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:24 come to mind. Quote, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." We thank God that the Lord's statement above indicates that it is not possible to deceive the very elect. This is true when we recall the fact that the Lord God has told us, quote, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." 2 Corinthians 13:1. And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And 1 John 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. So we see that the very elect cannot be deceived because they continue in the Word, which is the truth. If there is any strange matter, they subject it to the thorough scrutiny necessary under the screening mirror of the Word of God. The psalmist says, Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 89, verse 15. If we study the Word and know the joyful sound, we shall be approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. And never need to be ashamed. We shall not be looking for solutions to solve the world and imaginary problems as the people who fail to continue in the Word of Jesus are doing. Let us pause for a while to reflect upon the blessings we have received since receiving the Word of Truth and steadfastly continuing in it. We have been able to cast off the traditions of men, and we know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We know that we are living in the harvest time, which is the end of the age, and that Christ is present as the Lord of the harvest. We know that others of our fold are still waiting for Him to come. We know the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. We know also the ransom is for all. 1 Timothy 2:6, 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. We know Jesus' explanation that those who know the truth are made free by the truth. John 8:23-36. To the Jewish disciples of his day, this meant freedom from the yoke of the law covenant and from its burdensome traditions of the elders. To us, it is freedom from the bondage of sin and death. The truth does not give us perfection of the flesh, but it does give us assurance that our unwilling imperfections are covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness, and that we are no longer under condemnation of death. We are free from fear, Romans 8:15, having been made free from the bondage of sin and death. We have voluntarily become bond slaves of Jesus Christ. We cannot use our freedom to please ourselves, but only to serve the Lord God. We know that we have dedicated ourselves to accept God's direction in our lives. And He leads us in the way of sacrifice. We follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes. Revelation 14:4. And we sing along, as in hymn 27 in the International Hymn Book. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. We know that just as the joy that was set before Jesus enabled Him to endure the cross and to despise the shame, Hebrews 12:2, so we too are strengthened by the exceeding great and precious promises by which we are made partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. We know that the correct knowledge and understanding of the truth, such a glorious prospect, causes all other things to fade in insignificance. He who has this feeling will say with the Apostle Paul, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3, verses 8 through 11. Finally, brethren, let us show genuine gratitude to our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, for their wonderful love for us in giving us the truth. We cannot do so in a better way than by diligently studying and continuing in the Word of the Father, given to us through the Son. Then we must also heed the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being away, led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast. Amen.
Jesus is the source of life, and it is our desire, like Peter, to continue in those words, because we have no other place, no other source that we can turn to. We wish to thank Brother Moses for his thoughts and sharing those thoughts in his word with us in convention today.
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, once again we humbly and thankfully come before thy precious throne of grace to give thee thanks for all of thy many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy wonderful love and mercy that thou hast shown towards us through the precious gift of thy dear Son, not only for us, dear Heavenly Father, but for the entire world of mankind. We thank thee for the wonderful knowledge that thou hast given to us of thy wonderful plans and purposes, dear Heavenly Father. Indeed, we thank thee for this wonderful privilege that we can come together with our dear brethren at convention to consider thy precious word of truth, that it might guide and direct each one of us. We thank thee for our dear brethren, our dear brother Moses, who penned this wonderful lesson for us today, and for our dear brother Tim, who delivered it to us. We pray that we might continue faithful in thy word, that it might continue to be each and every day a guiding light unto us. Indeed, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might continue to guide and direct each one of us, that we might walk faithfully in the footsteps of our dear Lord and Master, that if faithful, we might be privileged to see thee face to face. We now ask your Heavenly Father for a blessing upon our noonday meal. May the strength that we receive be used to thy honor and glory. May our conversation be centered on thee and the wonderful hope of glory that thou hast presented and given to us. And now, dear Heavenly Father, we also would ask that thou would be with our dear brethren in every parts of the world. Thou knowest their needs, that thou would continue to guide and direct them and comfort them in their hour of need. And indeed, we pray that thy kingdom might soon be established, when every name will praise thy name in one accord. We patiently wait upon that day, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We now have a few short announcements, and Brother Len Grice will share those announcements with us.
Brethren, we have 9 announcements today. They're very short, so. Number 1, some extra information regarding the trip to the mine in Nova Ruda. By the end of the day today, we must have the total number of participants. This is one of the oldest coal mines in the world. We start off the trip by visiting an exhibition. Next, you pick up helmets and flashlights. You go down to the mine, which is 40 meters deep. The underground path is 500 meters long. And next, you will take a train for 200 meters. If you survive, then you will come out. This trip is for people of all ages. It is not a difficult walk. If you want to sign up, please do so at the registration desk. Announcement 2. There is an extra room for brethren who wish to have private discussions about the Bible during intermissions or else other times. For those brethren interested in those discussions, please talk to Brother Pavel Lipianin in the convention office. Number 3. Brethren who live in the care home Batania have given us crafts that they have made to remind us of the blessings and that they are thinking about us. Those are on display in the registration area. Number 4. Brethren who wish to donate money to the convention fund, there are 3 places where you can do so. The first, there is a donation box in the convention hall by the main entrance. Second, there is a donation box on the wall by the coffee. It has a picture of a coffee cup on it. Third, there's a donation area in the main registration area. If you go there along the tables, you will see a small blue box. There is a sister sitting next to it. You can give the donation to her. She will give you a receipt. Number 5. This is information about the convention choir concert on Wednesday, that's tomorrow, August 11th, at 4 p.m. at the Zdravi Theater. That's at 4 p.m. We ask the brethren that will attend that concert not to occupy the seats in the main hall. We'd like to leave those seats for the public. If there are empty seats when the public is settled and the concert begins, then you may sit down. If you would like to attend, you can sit in the balcony area of the theater. There will also be a concert at 6 p.m. in the open theater across the street from the Sverjavi Theater. You should feel free to attend that. Number 6. Please use the crosswalk outside the building when you are crossing the street. Do not cross in the middle of the block. It's causing some traffic problems. Number 7. The convention pictures that were taken on Sunday will be on sale on Thursday at the information desk. That's in the registration area. The price will be 20 zloty. Number 8. This concerns information coming over the internet. We have love to the convention being sent from many brethren. Russell and Don Shalou from New York. Sven, Christine, and Leah Cruz from Germany. Jimmy Daly from Peru. Tim Thomason from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Isaac Rolden from New York. Sister Chai Darmstadt from New York. And the Boise, Idaho Ecclesia. Brother Alan Allers sends that. There is also internet mail service available in the computer room during intermissions, but there is only one computer available. So please use it only if you have important matters. A general email box has been set up for the convention attendees. It is called brethren@ibsconvention.com. If you want to get email at this address while you are at the convention, please have the sender put for brother or sister your name, and it will be relayed to you at the convention. We have had a number of brethren attending the convention by the internet, a total of 27 last night. That means that there were probably 50 or more brethren that were listening at one time or another yesterday. Number 9, this is for the English-speaking brethren only, so there will not be a translation. The North American meeting is scheduled for Wednesday night at 8 p.m. There has been a change in location. It is not at the Polonica Hotel. The meeting hall location will be here in this building, in the room where the 15 to 24 age group meets during the day. It is room number 5. You get there by going through the main registration area, up the stairs, one flight of stairs, through the doors, all the way across the hall, and then you go through another set of doors and up a few stairs, and the room is just to the left. We will have it marked tomorrow night. But remember, that is a change. It will not be at the Polonica Hotel. We would also like to invite Australians as well as England and Germany to attend that meeting. That's Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Smotchnagel.